Danielle Knutze, in an article originally published by Viewfinder and GroundUp, raises a very disturbing fact that the members of the Portfolio Committee on Policing, who are tasked with the responsibility of accepting or rejecting Police Minister Peggy Qhele's nomination of Jennifer Ntlatseng as the new head of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, well, they were not privy to the recruitment process as it unfolded. Danielle, this is something that is worrying, right?
Good morning, Africa, and morning to the listeners. I think so. I think this is a deeply rooted problem in oversight of the appointment of the IPED head, one that is rooted in, or concern at least that is rooted in, a constitutional court judgment from 2016, when we recall Robert McBride, the former head, was suspended by the then Minister Nathi Nhleko. And the court ruled essentially that the minister's powers over the appointment, over the removal, and over the contract renewal of the IPED head gives him enormous political power and potential sway to influence the candidate. Therefore, parliamentary oversight is critically important. Unfortunately, in the interim since 2016, very little has been done to rein in those powers over the nomination and appointment process. Hence, we saw a process which really was unchecked and not vetted, I think, as it was unfolding, as you say, over recent months. And the effect of that was that Parliament essentially just rubber-stamped a nomination that came to it from the minister, as opposed to applying, I think, due scrutiny to the process.
It's important to note that following that McBride case, which was, by the way, mainly concerned with the issue of removal, right, of the IPED head. And it's a point that the Member of Parliament, Tina Jumaat-Peterson, who chairs the Police Portfolio Committee, raised when there were objections raised, saying, no, we're not dealing with the removal of someone here. We are dealing with the appointment of someone in the name of Jennifer Ntlatseng. But following that McBride case, Parliament was ordered, were they not, to publish a draft IPED amendment bill, which took forever. There were some commentary from the public, which, according to your reports, were largely ignored by the Portfolio Committee.
Quite right. So the amendment that was ordered by the court was specifically on the removal aspect. And the IPED amendment bill, which became law this year, did deal with that amendment and did adopt it. What civil society organizations advocated for in the interim from 2016 to present was that the court judgment actually made a much wider indictment of the weakness of the IPED Act to rein in ministerial power, and that Parliament should go above and beyond the bare minimum of the amendments and rein in the minister's powers around appointment and contract renewal as well. Parliament accepted those submissions, but it had no impact on the actual law. And we're seeing today the ramifications of this very narrow engagement with a need for amendment. Incidentally, Parliament, Tina Jumaat-Peterson, the chair, agrees today, apparently the committee unanimously agrees, that the act should be, there should be a wider review and interpretation of that judgment and amendment of the act. But as we saw, it's too little too late, unfortunately. There was an opportunity to do that during public participation in 2018, and those submissions were ignored. So the impact is that the minister's nomination, again, has been essentially rubber stamped, and the ball or the can has been kicked down the road. And the proposal is that the same kind of amendment, or at least engagement around an amendment that happened in 2018, happens this year or next year, or, I mean, no timeline has been set to it. And yeah, it's a bit of an echo chamber, I guess, or a loop, so to speak.
Are there any avenues that can be followed here, Danielle, to make sure that at the very least we vet whether or not Jennifer Ntlatseng is an appropriate person to head up this very important arm of policing in South Africa?
Well, I think the appointment has essentially been made now. So there's certainly a vetting exercise that can be done. I don't know whether Parliament would be taking that up after having endorsed the nomination, but that could be done independently, of course, by civil society, by journalists like myself. So I think that's possible. I think the broader question is one of scrutinizing the tenure as it unfolds of our new IPED head and making sure that she is accountable to the mandate of IPED, and that is to investigate both high-level corruption cases, many of which are ongoing, into politically connected, incidentally, police officers at senior levels, and of course the rank-and-file abuses, many of which kind of were highlighted during lockdown, which happen at precinct level, and which provincial officers are tasked with taking, investigating.
What is the length of a term, Danielle?
It's 5 years, I believe.
5 years, and of course there are options to renew, and that matter is still being heard in the courts. What I suppose it really highlights once again is the flaw in our electoral system, doesn't it? Where the members of parliament are answerable to wherever the head office of their political party is, more so than to the people of South Africa. Because as supposedly elected representatives representing our interests, we should be relying on parliament to do the due diligence, the vetting, the checking, the demanding of transparency in these processes, because ultimately Jennifer Tlatseng will be serving you and me in that role as a head of IPED.
Absolutely, and Parliament serves us in the oversight capacity. I think it's incredibly important to remember that Parliament has to engage in its own rigorous vetting and oversight of the executive, and not simply pander or kowtow behind decisions that are being made and essentially rubber stamping them. And I think there's a lesson to be taken here as well about when opportunities and judgments like the Constitutional Court judgment in the McBride case create an opportunity for better and more rigorous oversight. It's incumbent, I think, on Parliament to go above and beyond what's required to them in the bare minimum of the court order, and to interpret the implications of it more widely, and to take that due diligence forward, I think, in the public interest, as opposed to doing, as I said, the bare minimum, which I think is what happened in 2018 when they had this opportunity for a broader review, very strong submissions to that effect, incidentally from IPED itself and the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services. Both those government institutions also recommended. So this is not just the public recommending it. It was a recommendation that came from within the executive arms of government that there needs to be this insulation from political control over this very important position. Just lastly, if I may add, that position, the head of IPED, has dominion over the entire institution. So all of the directors that are appointed under her or under this position, a lot of the decisions that are made, the executive directives which are given to provincial officers or other arms of the institution, that executive director position is very influential, of course, over the entire institution. So influence over that position gives you influence over the entire institution. And that is what the concern is, because specifically of high-level corruption cases that are ongoing, and that new probes that should be unfolding as new evidence around the state capture era and what's going on today arises.
It's an important story, Daniel. Thank you very much indeed. Daniel Knutze, a reporter for Ground Up. In an article first published to The Viewfinder as well as Ground Up, you can find it also on dailymaverick.co.za, titled Parliament Failed to Vet Cele's Nomination for IPED Head.